وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد to proceed. Certainly you will hear, and rightfully so, so much about the importance and the obligation of giving da'wah on each and every one of us, and how it is important that we do not wait until we reach our own, you know, level of excellence, or until we attain excellence or perfection, and that we engage in da'wah at every level, all the time, and all of us. This is really true. However, there is an ayah of the Quran that we need to really ponder over. It is an ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 105 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا who believed, عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, upon you is the responsibility of yourselves. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, upon you is the responsibility of yourselves. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ, those who are misguided, those who went astray, will not harm you if you yourselves are guided. They will not harm you if you yourselves are guided. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا, to Allah is your return, all of you. To Allah is your return, all of you. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, then he will tell us of the, what you used to do. He will tell you of what you used to do. This may sound a little bit counterproductive when we are talking about da'wah, you know, encouraging people to give da'wah and to be involved in da'wah and to be engaged in da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that upon you is the responsibility of yourselves. This does not mean that you should only take care of yourself and then you shouldn't worry about anyone else. It does not mean that you should be worried about your destiny and not worried about everybody else's destiny. You should be, you know, anxious, concerned about your final abode, about your relationship with Allah, and not be concerned about anything else. Although it may sound like this, but this is not the right interpretation of this ayah. The right interpretation of this ayah could be known by having encompassing knowledge of the rest of the ayat and the rest and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this ayah does mean something, right? عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, upon you only is the responsibility of yourselves. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ, those who went astray will not harm you, will not hurt you, or it will not hurt you, the misguidance of those who are misguided, if you are yourselves guided. It means that after you have conveyed the message, according to many scholars, it means that after you have conveyed the message to people, after you have done your part, you should not worry about the outcome of your da'wah. You should not worry, because يَأْتِ النَّبِيِّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةُ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٍ. In the hadith of Uqash ibn Mahsan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَيَأْتِ النَّبِيُّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٍ, that of the prophets are those who will come on the day of judgment with no followers behind them. So each messenger or prophet will come with his followers that followed him, that accepted his message in life. They will follow their prophets. So some of the prophets will have one or two people. Some of the prophets will have arrahat, which is a few people. Some of the prophet will have jama'a kabira, like a huge number of people. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that some of the prophets will have one or two people come behind them as their followers. وَيَأْتِ النَّبِيُّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةُ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٍ, and some of the prophets will come on the day of judgment with no followers whatsoever. Have they done anything wrong? These are anbiya. These are the best of Allah's creation. These are the chosen of the humankind, the anbiya and the messengers. Each one of the anbiya is greater than any of the sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. So you can imagine that each of the anbiya is greater than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So those are the most chosen of Allah's creation. And they have done their best. And they have reached out to the people, they have conveyed the message, they have worked hard through their entire lives, and then some of them come with one or two followers, some of them will come with no followers. So don't worry about the outcome. What you need to worry about is your work, and whether you do it for Allah or you do it for something else. But if you're doing it for Allah, then Allah is telling you, don't worry. If you do your part, you get your reward from me, and you will not be hurt or harmed by those who did not accept your da'wah, by those who went astray. This is extremely important for each and every one of us, for our sanity, for our comfort. If we engage in da'wah, this is a lesson that we all have to learn. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Upon you is the responsibility of yourselves. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا هَتَدَيْتُمْ. Those who went astray will not hurt you, will not harm you. If you yourselves are guided, your reward is with Allah. That is what this ayah tells you. But this ayah also tells you something else. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ does not necessarily only mean after you have done everything. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Upon you is the responsibility of yourself. It also has another interpretation, which is not which is a corroborative interpretation. It is not a contradictory interpretation, so you don't have to accept one and reject the other. Both are okay. Both are acceptable interpretations, and both are true interpretations of this ayah. This ayah means, firstly, you're responsible about yourself. Firstly, foremostly, most importantly, be worried about your own salvation. Be worried about your own survival. Be concerned, be anxious about it. Yes, you should be anxious about people's survival. You should be worried and concerned, and you should have this hum and the concern for the people and for the survival and the salvation of the people. But firstly, take care of yourself. Because at times, when you get involved in da'wah, and when you engage in da'wah, and you get so involved in da'wah, many of us tend to forget about ourselves, about our hearts. And then you sort of think that you have acquired the status of a da'i now, and you are involved in teaching and preaching and so on and so forth. So that makes you forget that you, as an individual, should be most, you know, concerned about the survival of Muhammad, Hassan, myself, is my first priority, even before my spouse and my son and my daughter. Because on the Day of Judgment, you will come alone. When you enter your grave, you will enter it alone. And when you rise from it, you will rise alone. And when you stand before Allah, you will be alone. When you cross the bridge, you will be alone. When you stand by the gates of the paradise, inshallah, may Allah accept us amongst the believers and admit us into paradise, you will be alone. So worry about yourself and be concerned about your own salvation. And don't forget, in the heat of, or, you know, in the heat of the limelights, even if there are no limelights, even if you practice street da'wah, but there is this zeal that may make you forget about your own survival. You're too involved in the da'wah, you're too involved in good work, but eventually you may have neglected your heart. You may have neglected taking care of the diseases of your heart, and those may come back and destroy you if you have neglected them, if you, you know, do not handle them promptly. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ is an ayah that the da'i has to ponder all the time. You have to ponder over this ayah all the time, reflect on this ayah all the time, remind yourself, عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Upon you is the responsibility of yourselves. Firstly, worry about yourself. Foremostly, worry about yourself. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Those who went astray will not harm you if you are yourselves guided. Then, in order for the da'i to have, you know, in order for the da'i to survive, you need to survive, and you need to remain on this path, to stay on this path of da'wah, and to maintain your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You survive in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will survive despite all of the tests and trials that you will encounter on your path of da'wah, and also your relationship with the people will survive. So there are three qualities that are extremely important for the da'i's survival. Three qualities are extremely important for the da'i's survival. Al-ikhlas, al-ikhlas, wa-tawadu' wal-hilm. Al-ikhlas, which is sincerity and devotion to Allah. Al-tawadu' is humbleness, selflessness. And al-hilm is forbearance. Al-ikhlas is extremely important because many of the da'is, many of us who call themselves da'is or who are called da'is by others, many of us who engage in preaching and teaching, they don't have as much ikhlas as some old woman, you know, that has no knowledge but la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and just a few verses she memorizes to be able to pray and, you know, perform her prayer right. So ikhlas is not acquired through knowledge only, but the ikhlas is acquired through the work of the heart, through your reflection on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on your creator, on yourself, on this dunya, the insignificance of this dunya, the unpredictability of this dunya. When we talk about ikhlas, we talk about the ayat and the ahadith that ordain ikhlas, that command us to have ikhlas. But it is extremely important that when you know that it is reported by An-Nasa'i from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, "Inna Allah la yaqbalu min al-amali illa ma kana khalisan wa btughiya bihi wajhu." Allah will not accept of the deeds except those that are purely devoted to Him, and with which Allah's pleasure is sought, or Allah's face, meaning Allah's pleasure here, is sought. When you know this, and when you know that أول من يسعر بهم النار يوم القيامة, hadith that's reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the first three people with which the nar will be kindled, the fire, the hellfire will be kindled on the Day of Judgment, one of them is that qari, one of them is that scholar who taught the people, and then he will be brought forth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فعرفه نعمه فعرفها فقال فما عملت فيها قال يا ربي قرأت فيك القرآن وأقرأته. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him forth, that scholar, and will ask him, "What have you done with my favors?" After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him of his favors upon him, and he will say, I read the Quran, I recited the Quran, and I taught the Quran, and I taught knowledge, learned knowledge, and I taught it for your sake. And Allah will tell him, "It was not for my sake, but to be called qari, or to be called the alim, or to be called the scholar." And then he will be dragged to the hellfire and thrown into the hellfire. It is a very heavy message from the Prophet ﷺ. It made every narrator of this hadith kneel down when he reported this hadith, out of the heaviness of this message, out of their fear, out of the impact of this on them. Everyone who narrated this hadith had to kneel down while reporting this hadith, because it was very heavy on them, and it should be very heavy on each one of us. But why is it that many of us, preachers, teachers, many of us Muslims, da'is, many of us ordinary people who know this hadith quite well and who know the other proofs on the importance of ikhlas, why are we not doing it? Why are we not having enough ikhlas? Why have we not crushed our egotism yet? Why is it that we are still looking for, you know, so many other things beside the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're looking for fame, celebrity, the limelight. We're looking for more and more money. We're looking for this or that. Because this is the knowledge of the mind, it's not knowledge of the heart. There is not enough reflection by the heart on our destiny. There is not, we're too hyper-connected to the world and very disconnected from reflection. That's why it is important for us to have some degree of uzla, seclusion, for self-reflection. Don't be too busy. Don't be going from one conference to the other. You know, you have a lecture here, and you have And then you never sit with yourself and contemplate your own destiny and contemplate your own, you know, relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are you at with regard to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are you seeking by all of this? When you're going to those different conferences, those different lectures, when you're speaking with the people, remind yourself all of the time. The Bukhari and Muslim reported from Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The likeness of he who remembers his Lord and he who does not remember his Lord is like one who's alive and one who's dead. Your life is by the remembrance of your Lord. And it is not just the mere saying subhanallah or alhamdulillah. It is the remembrance of the heart. It is the recognition of the heart. It is when you have the eyes of your heart fixated always on your Lord, on your, because this journey is all about going back to him, going back to him in the best way, best form, best shape. You want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this journey, when you are being interviewed, when you are being interrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it is your time of hisab, standing alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to be in your best shape. And the best shape is إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day where neither children nor, you know, wealth will be of any benefit except for one who returns back to Allah. The only one who will benefit, the only one who will succeed, is one who returns back to Allah with a heart that is sound. So you want to focus on this. At the end of this journey, I want to return back to Allah when I get this final questioning, final interrogation, final reckoning. Me and Allah alone, I want to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart that is sound. We as, you know, people involved in da'wah need to remember all the time that Allah created us. And when you get sick, who takes care of you? You know, all of your audience and your followers on Facebook or on, you know, this or that. When you get really, really sick, will anyone come to your help? When you enter your grave, will anyone come to your help? When you come out from your grave, when you rise from the grave, will they be flocking around you, asking you questions and, you know, wanting to know you? And none will be around you. You'll just be alone. And the same applies to each and every conjunction of this journey after this dunya. You know, when you after your soul departs from this dunya, you will be always alone. So make sure that you are ready for your time of loneliness. Prepare for this time of loneliness by a little bit of loneliness in this life. A little bit of uzla, you know, seclusion versus khulta, mingling with the people, so that you self-reflect, so that you get yourself prepared and you get your heart ready for the time of the real time of loneliness, or the time of real loneliness. Tawadu is extremely important. Tawadu is extremely important because tawadu, which is humbleness, which is to recognize your station when it comes to knowledge. How much do you know? Very little do you know. Bunayu Abi Bakrin, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said about himself, Bunayu Abi Bakrin ghada mutasaddiran yu'allimu ilman wa huwa laysa lahu ilmu. The little son of Abu Bakr, Imam Ibn Qayyim's name is Muhammad Ibn Abi Bakr. The little son of Abi Bakr, talking about himself, ghada mutasaddiran. He took the front seat. يُعَلِّمُ عِلْمًا وَهُوَ لَيْسَ لَهُ عِلْمٌ. Teaching knowledge to people, and he himself has no knowledge. It is the awareness. He's measuring his knowledge by he's actually being truthful. It is not like he's just trying to fake humbleness. He's being truthful because they measure the knowledge by the beneficial knowledge, the knowledge that makes you more aware, more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that benefits your heart, that makes your heart closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this awareness of how far we are from true knowledge. He himself, he also said in this poetry, Bunayyu Abi Bakrin, which is himself, the little son of Abu Bakr, جَهُولٌ بِنَفْسِهِ جَهُولٌ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ أَنَّا لَهُ الْعِلْمُ بُنَيُّ أَبِي بَكْرٍ, the little son of Abu Bakr, جَهُولٌ بِنَفْسِهِ, ignorant about himself and his condition, ignorant about his condition, the condition of his heart. جَهُولٌ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, ignorant about the command of Allah. Although he was one of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam, but he's measuring this by the response of the heart, the submission of the heart. And he's being hard on himself so that he could excel, so he could move forward. جَهُولٌ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, ignorant of the command of Allah, أَنَّ لَهُ الْعِلْمُ, how far is knowledge from him? Do we say this to ourselves? How far is knowledge from us? Do we really perceive knowledge as something that is so far away from us that we are working so hard to attain, but we're still, you know, taking baby steps towards that knowledge? And if we do, then we will do like the Sahaba used to do. You will have very little regard for your ego, and you will always wish that people would suffice in your place. That, as Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, one of the kibar al-tabi'in, one of the older tabi'in, said, أدركت 120 من الأنصار في المسجد ما منهم من محدث إلا ود أن أخاه كفاه الحديث وما منهم من مفت إلا ود أن أخاه كفاه الفتي. I have seen 120 of the Ansar, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of the Ansar in the masjid. I have not seen one of them except that he wished that his brother would have narrate instead of him, would have report from the Prophet, you know. None of them who had knowledge of hadith except that he wished that his brother would narrate instead of him, and none of them who had the faculty of fatwa, or the ability to issue fatwa, except that he had wished that his brother would give fatwa in his place. It is our recognition of how little we are, how far from knowledge we are, our recognition of our ignorance. There is so much hype. Our names are bigger than our CVs, and our CVs are bigger than our reality, and our reality is so far from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of us. So let us work, you know, on the other way around. Forget about the name doctor and sheikh and mufti and so on. You know, work a little bit on your reality before you work on building the CV. And finally, hilm, which is forbearance with the people. Part of it will come from tawadu. When you recognize your status, then you will be able to have forbearance with the people. But make sure that when you're giving da'wah to people, it is like you're waking them up from sleep. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. All you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger when they invite you to that which gives you life. The person that is in that is in misguidance or kufr or shirk is not only asleep, they are dead. Have you ever wakened someone up from sleep who's been in deep sleep? Do you see how they convulse when you wake them up? It is not easy to be woken up, right? It is not easy for them to. So when you're giving da'wah to someone, you're not actually waking someone up from sleep, or some of us may be just asleep or having light sleep, but it is still not easy. But you're actually trying to wake someone up from death and bring them to life. And do you know when the soul was breathed into Adam, he sneezed. It is the shake, the quake of the body when life comes to you. So that person is in a very unstable condition. You're telling this person that your life has been so far in vain, that you are, if you die like this, you will go to the hellfire, that you are misguided. You're not saying this to them directly, but this is what you're saying. And do you know how hard that is on the individual? At that time, you should have, you know, gentleness, rifq. Because hilm is rifq and sabr. It is your rifq, it is your gentleness with them, and then your sabr, your patience with the reaction. It is your gentleness in approaching them, and it is your patience in receiving the reaction. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ in Ali Imran, the last ruba of Ali Imran, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. You shall be tested concerning yourselves and your positions, and you shall hear much that will hurt you from those that who received the book before you and from the mushrikeen. And if you tasbiru, if you show patience, watattaqu, and be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, show have taqwa, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. These are certainly the strongholds of this affair, the affair of giving da'wah to the people and reaching out to the people to give them that which gives them life, to revive them from or to wake them up. At least. I know that I have ran out of time, so I'll stop here. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanak wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Wa man ahsanu qawlan mimman da'a ila Allahi wa 'amila salihan wa qala innani minal muslimin.